The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
LinkedIn presents.
After all these years of working on intractable conflicts, people often ask me, are you an optimist or a pessimist? I like to answer that actually I am a possibilist. Why am I a possibilist? Because I've seen the impossible become possible with my own eyes. In boardroom battles, labor strikes, family feuds, and wars around the world. No conflict is too difficult, I have found. Since conflicts are made by humans, they can be transformed by humans.
Hi, this is The Next Big Idea Daily. I'm your host, Michael Kovnat, and it's Thursday. Have you noticed that some conflicts seem unsolvable? Whether it's in international relations or in your personal life, sometimes finding common ground can seem impossible. That's when we need to bring in someone like master negotiator William Ury, author of the new book, Possible: How We Survive and Thrive in an Age of Conflict. William is the co-founder of Harvard's Program on Negotiation and has served as a mediator in conflicts around the world. He's also the co-author of Getting to Yes, the best-selling negotiation book in the world. Here he is to share some of his big ideas.
Here's the twist. We can't end conflict, nor should we. Conflict is natural, part of life. We may actually need more conflict, not less. And by that I mean the healthy conflict that allows us to engage our differences, grow, and change what needs to be changed. Healthy conflict can make our relationships strong, our democracy vibrant, and our economy thriving. So the challenge we face is not how to get rid of conflict, but how to handle it in a different way. All too often, we tend to fall right into what I would call the 3A trap. The first A stands for attack, which usually provokes counterattack, an eye for an eye, and we all go blind. The second A stands for avoid. We just ignore the problem, which doesn't solve anything. The third A stands for accommodate or appease. We give in. Often we do all three things. We avoid for a while, we even accommodate, and then we lose it. We go on the attack. Sound familiar? So what's the way out of the 3A trap? It's to do the exact opposite, which is to lean into the conflict with curiosity, embrace it with creativity, and transform it with collaboration. By transform, I simply mean to change the form of conflict from destructive fighting into constructive negotiation. If we want to transform our conflicts so we can navigate these polarized times, my experience suggests we will need three things: a clear perspective, a way out, and lots of help from people around us. When it comes to conflict in these tough times, we are often our own worst enemies. Maybe the biggest lesson I've learned since co-authoring Getting to Yes decades ago is that the biggest obstacle to getting what I want is not what I think it is. It's not the difficult person on the other side of the table. It's the person on this side of the table. It's me. It's the person I look at in the mirror every morning. It's our natural, very human, very understandable tendency to react. Act out of fear and anger. We humans are reaction machines. And as the old saying goes, when angry, you will make the best speech you will ever regret. So what's the alternative? It's to do the exact opposite and pause for a moment and get some perspective. The metaphor I like to use is to imagine yourself on a stage and then go to the balcony, a place of calm, where you can keep your eyes on the prize and see the bigger picture. Think about what you really want, your deeper interests, concerns, aspirations, and think about how you can best satisfy them. I learned this balcony lesson most dramatically when, in the middle of a political mediation, I was confronted by the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, in front of his entire cabinet. He asked me how things were going. I made the mistake of saying there had been some progress. Progress? What are you talking about? Are you a fool, not seeing the dirty tricks those traitors in the opposition are up to? And he leaned in close to my face so I could feel his hot breath as he shouted at me. I felt embarrassed and flustered and was about to react defensively when I caught myself and thought, what am I trying to do here? I want to calm the situation. Is it really going to help if I get into an argument with the president of Venezuela? So I bit my tongue, and I listened to him instead. After 30 minutes of watching him shout at me, I suddenly saw his shoulders sink, and he asked me in a weary tone of voice, "So, Yuri, what should I do?" That, my friends, is the faint sound of a human mind opening. That was my chance. So I said, "Mr. President, it's almost Christmas. People are exhausted from the conflict. Why don't you call a truce over the holidays?" He paused for a moment and then announced, "That's an excellent idea. I'm going to propose that my next speech." He clapped me on the back. His mood had completely shifted. I learned then and there that the greatest power you have in negotiation is the power not to react, but to stop and go to the balcony instead. Think about your favorite way to go to the balcony. It might be simply to take a deep breath or two, or take a break, or go for a walk. Remember this: we can only influence the other side to the extent we can influence ourselves. Negotiation is an inside job. It works from the inside out. The best way to start is to stop. That's how you set up your negotiations for success. In today's tough conflicts, we need more than ever to be able to find a way out of the labyrinth, out of destructive fights. The other side may be far from cooperative. They dig in and refuse to budge. They pressure, they attack, they threaten. There's a huge chasm between where you stand and where they stand. That chasm is filled with anxiety, doubt, unmet needs, distrust. Your challenge is to build a bridge over that chasm, a golden bridge, an attractive way out. What does this mean? Instead of pushing, do the exact opposite and attract. Instead of making it harder for them, make it easier for them. Easier, that is, for them to make the decision you want them to make. Leave your thinking for a moment and start the conversation where their mind is. Listen to them. Put yourself in their shoes and seek to understand their perceptions and feelings. How can we possibly change their mind if we don't know where their mind is? We need to begin by understanding their needs and concerns. One of my favorite exercises is to begin by writing the other side's victory speech. It's a thought experiment. Imagine the other side has already said yes to your proposal. Now they have to explain to the people they care about, their constituency, why they said yes. What would be the three key points of their victory speech? What would be persuasive? In other words, start at the end and work backwards. Now think about how you can help them deliver this victory speech, whether it's asking your boss for a raise or figuring out how to end a war. I find this thought experiment can open up new creative possibilities we hadn't imagined before. It's not easy to go to the balcony or build a golden bridge. Where can we find help? Here's the classic mistake people make when they fall into conflict. We tend to reduce the conflict to two sides: us against them, union versus management, one political party versus another, one nation warring with another. What we forget is that in any conflict, there's always a third side: the people around us, friends, family, colleagues, neighbors, in short, the community. The third side is a huge untapped potential. that can help the parties calm down and go to the balcony, that can bring them together to talk, that can help them find a way out, a golden bridge. A difficult conflict may require a kind of intervention from the community. I think of it as a swarm from the third side, a critical mass of persuasive influence and ideas from the community that can help the parties find a way out. I once served as a negotiation advisor to the president of Colombia, Juan Manuel Santos, as he was trying to put an end to a 50-year civil war that had taken hundreds of thousands of lives and claimed 8 million victims. Most observers thought the conflict was utterly intractable, impossible to resolve. I was part of a team of international advisors who served as a balcony for the president, offering him perspective so he could figure out a way through the labyrinth. We made over 25 trips to Colombia, helping him build a golden bridge, starting with a victory speech for the guerrilla leaders. But even more was needed. To succeed, he had to win over the political patrons of the guerrillas, Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez, so they would coax the guerrillas to the negotiating table. He also had to build support for a peace process within the country, among the business community and the military, who were intensely skeptical. And he sought help from the wider international community, from the U.S. to Europe to the U.N. It took 5 years of huge collective work, but in the end, the guerrillas laid down their weapons, Santos won the Nobel Peace Prize, and the longest-running war in the Americas came to an end. In tough conflicts like this, the key is to engage the surrounding community, the third side, and turn it into a winning coalition for a peaceful agreement. After all these years of working on intractable conflicts, people often ask me, are you an optimist or a pessimist? I like to answer that actually I am a possibilist. A possibilist is someone who believes in human potential. In this case, our natural capacity to transform conflicts. Why am I a possibilist? Because I've seen the impossible become possible with my own eyes. In boardroom battles, labor strikes, family feuds, and wars around the world. No conflict is too difficult, I have found. Since conflicts are made by humans, they can be transformed by humans. The path to possible is to go to the balcony, build a golden bridge, and engage the third side. Here's the good news. The balcony, the bridge, and the third side are innate human potentials. We just need to remember and to develop them. I hope you will make them your close friends and allies, always at your disposal. That's how, I believe, we can navigate this turbulent age of conflict and benefit from the enormous opportunities we face. The choice is ours. If we can transform our conflicts, we can transform our lives, and we can transform our world. I wish you every success in getting to yes.
Thank you, William. All right, as bleak as things are looking, I'm committing to being a possibilist today. It may be my best option given how things are going in the world. Actually, sometimes the toughest negotiations are closer to home, like in our own homes, about things like money. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from business professor Scott Rick, the author of Tightwads and Spendthrifts, Navigating the Money Minefield in Real Relationships. If you need that kind of advice sooner, you can find key insights from Scott's book in our Next Big Idea app, available in your app store. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you tomorrow.